good number. Revelation chapter 1 will be our text scripture tonight. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So find that portion in your Bible, and we'll read those first three verses responsively. If you'd join me on verse number 2, and bring another very practical message tonight that I hope will be a help to you, and maybe a little challenge to your heart at the beginning, still close to the beginning of this new year. All right, Revelation chapter 1. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book. And we're reading verses 1 through 3 as our text this evening. And please join me on verse 2. Our Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Dear Father, take your book tonight, please, and may the Spirit of God wield it as his sword. May it go into our hearts, Lord. May it do more than just rest in our ears, but may it get down into our hearts. May it, Lord, influence our thinking, our emotions, and yes, our choices, our decisions. May it influence us tonight for good and for God, and we need it. Help me, I pray. Help this music to prepare our hearts for the message, and then be in it, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, be seated.
Straight from the heart of the Savior, written by deity, recording the birth of his kingdom, where the book of eternity, the Lord of the ages is filling his pages with his everlasting grace. One by one he enters the names of those who are saved by grace. Rejoice, your name is written in heaven. Rejoice, your sins are forgiven. Lift up your voice, Christian, rejoice. Your name is written in heaven. Angels in heaven were humming. Musicians were ready to play. They all were listening for the Savior to announce your soul has been saved. When God raised his voice, every angel rejoiced. The day your name was called out, you became famous in heaven. You have a reason to shout. Rejoice, your name is written in heaven. Rejoice, your sins are forgiven. Lift up your voice, Christian, rejoice. Your name is written in heaven. Rejoice, rejoice, Christian, rejoice. Your name.
Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3 is going to be my text. And just that first phrase there of verse number 3, it will give a little bit of the setting of the passage and then make an application tonight. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is, I'm missing something? All right, never mind then, okay. Blessed is he, Brother Jeff, everything. Are these folks misbehaving? All right, yeah, okay. Blessed is he that readeth, and that is going to be the title of the message tonight. Blessed is he that readeth. Thank you, dear Father, that our names are written in heaven. Truly calls for rejoicing. That's what you said in Luke chapter 10. Rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We're glad tonight that we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. Certainly doesn't give us, Lord, a desire or a license to go out and just live like we want to. It motivates us, causes us, God, to want to be close to you, to please you, because of such mercy and grace. And I rejoice tonight in your goodness. And thank you for your book. And as we preach about it tonight, open our hearts to it. Lord, some need to hear the message tonight that their lives might be salvaged before it's eternally too late as far as this life goes. So help me, I pray, and do us some good in this service, God, in our hearts, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. John the aged disciple was abandoned. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony for Christ and for his preaching of the Word of God. But what man designed for John's destruction, God turned into John's exaltation. Because it was on that island at that time that the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to the old disciple. And at the very beginning of this book, a promise is made concerning the book of Revelation, specifically the book of Revelation. A threefold blessing is mentioned at the very outset here in verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth. And then blessed is he that hears the words of this prophecy, any teaching and preaching on the book of Revelation. And then blessed is he, probably the best, I would say, revival week that we've ever had as far as doing good in the hearts of God's people was the Revelation Revival when Brother Sharp was here and taught from the first verse through the last verse of the book of Revelation in 7 days. And then we'll forget the altar call that last Wednesday, last Friday night. There wasn't one person in the pew. And the crowds just were outstanding. And it was just, there was no fluff to it. We had opening song, prayer, and Brother Sharp got up and began to teach the book of Revelation. And he went through that thing. And boy, how God worked in our hearts that week. What a wonderful, wonderful week that was. Blessed is he that hears the words of this prophecy. And then thirdly, blessed is he that keeps the commands in Revelation. That's what he says there. And keep those things which are written therein. So a threefold blessing. There is promise of blessing to those who read the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth. But I want to expand on that thought tonight. It isn't only the book of Revelation that will bring you blessing if you read it. The truth of the matter is, the whole Bible is good to read, and blessed is he that readeth. No matter what part you're reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul told his preacher boy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I talked a little bit about this verse in the staff devotions this week on Wednesday. Timothy was a young pastor. He was discouraged. He was sick. He had some physical illnesses. He had some older men in the church, no doubt older than him, who were maybe questioning his leadership a little bit. Are we going the right direction? Paul went by when he got out of prison to visit Timothy, found him discouraged. And then wrote back to his preacher boy, his son in the faith. And he said, Timothy, till I come. Till I come. Why did he say till I come? Because Paul knew when he got there in person, he could sharpen Timothy's edge. He could encourage Timothy. He could motivate and challenge Timothy. But this was the days before jet airplanes. This was the days before buses and automobiles. A journey took time. And Paul couldn't be there for some months, maybe years. And so he said, Timothy, I know that if I get there, when I get there, I can sharpen your edge, motivate you and challenge you. But Timothy, you're going to have to do something for yourself till I get there to keep yourself challenged. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Reading. Now, I believe, like Larry Harrison, I believe the best book to read is the Bible. Amen. And I believe beyond that, other good books are a great help to you. But friend, if you don't have time to read but one book, you better make sure it's the right book. It's the only book worth reading every day. It's the Word of God. And he said, till I come, give attendance to reading. To reading, to reading, to reading, to reading. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 13, Paul is coming down to the end of his time. He's in prison, and he's going to face the guillotine, face the executioner's sword. And he says to Timothy, he says, take Mark and bring him with you, for he's profitable for me to the ministry, to me for the ministry. And then he said, I want you to come and I want you to bring my cloak. The prison was damp, cool. He needed to be warm. He said, bring my cloak. And then he said, the books. And then he said, especially the parchments. Now, there's some debate as to whether the books were the Old Testament scriptures and the parchments were Paul's notes or vice versa. It might be that the books were just secular books of his day because he was a very learned man, trained up at the feet of Gamaliel, an intellectual man. No doubt he was into reading. But there's some, one of those two, either the books or the parchments, is a reference to the Word of God. I happen to believe where he says, especially the parchments, he's referring to the Word of God. He said, I'd be glad to have some other books, but man, don't you forget the Bible. Amen. Don't you forget the parchments. So that's what he's talking about here. There is no argument among saved people that the Bible is a powerful book. It is not magical. It's not mystical. It is powerful in the sense that it can change a life. Powerful in the sense that it can change a family. Powerful in the sense that it can change a society of people. And I pondered for a moment going back into that illustration of the New Hebrides Islands. But I've told it enough here. And you probably remember how it changed those people between Charles Darwin's first and second visit to those islands that were one time heathen, barbaric, cannibals. And when he went back, a complete change had taken place. And the only thing that was different was that John Patton had visited the island with the Word of God, the message of Jesus Christ. That's not superstition, friend. That's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. That's the power of God's changing Word. Amen. The life-changing power of God's Word. God's power is on the Bible. God's power is in the Bible. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that it will effectually, I like this next word, work in you. I like things that work in me. There are things that, you know, appeal to my senses, and that's okay, that are physical. But I like things that work in me. I like things, the Bible will work in you. That's what Paul said. It will effectually work in you because it's a powerful, powerful book. Like a medicine that goes in your body and begins to work some healing power. God's Word is a balm, a spiritual balm that is a dynamite power in your life. Get it in you, it'll work in you once you get it there. Now this is the beginning or close to the beginning of a new year. We're still in the first month, although it's just a few days to go. And February will be here on Thursday, I believe. I want to encourage you tonight in your relationship with and to the Bible. I want to encourage you in your relationship with and to. I remember years ago, Paul Lowe came here from another church in town, and he and his family were faithful. And I don't know why, but I just got about once a month hitting on the subject of the Bible, your relationship with the Bible. And I made the statement, one message, you know, folks, maybe you're getting tired of hearing this. And Paul Lowe was a good Christian. Paul Lowe was a good businessman. I remember he came to me after one of the services, and he said, Pastor, don't ever stop encouraging us to read the Bible, because if I'm like everybody else in this church, it's a constant battle against the flesh to put it down. I think that was an honest man speaking. So I want to encourage you tonight in your relationship with the Bible. I hope you have some time to read it. If you don't, I hope you make some time to read it. I hope you value your Bible. Value. We find time for the things in life that we value. How is it? We are blessed in America to have several copies of this book in our possession. I couldn't even tell you tonight how many Bibles I have. In my office, in my house, stored in boxes in my attic. I hate to throw them away. I won't throw one away. I guess the right thing to do would be like you do the flag almost, to burn it if it wears out. But I've got them in boxes. I'd hate to take a guess at how many New Testaments and copies of God's book that I have. And you're about the same way. We have multiple copies of God's Word. Do you realize, friend, there are places where the Bible is not as abundant as it is here in the States? There are countries around the world where Bibles are outlawed, where Bibles have been confiscated, where Bibles have been destroyed. And in those countries, those believers have always placed a premium on having even a portion of the Word of God. Not the whole book, but a portion of it. I remember years ago hearing about that Chinese underground church. And one copy of the scriptures in the whole congregation, and how that they would allow the members to take it home. And sometimes those dear Chinese people would write it on their skin. Write the words on their skin so that when they had to take the Bible back to the church, they'd still have the ability to read some of God's Word for themselves. I recently ran across a story this week about old Bulgaria when it was still under communist rule. We have a missionary in Bulgaria, Brother Jonathan Owens and his wife. And they're doing a good job. But those Bulgarian countries, I mean, those old communist countries, like where Brother Oswardy is. If you missed Wednesday night, we read a great story about Cowboy Alex getting saved over in Oriol, Russia, Brother Oswardy. That's exciting, folks. That's two Ruskies that have trusted Christ just recently in the last several months. And I think Brother Don's been faithful to water and faithful to plant. And I believe God's going to give the increase. Amen. I really do. It's wonderful. And Brother Oswardy's perfect for it. Just perfect for that place. But anyway, that takes a lot of time to sow the Word of God. Sow the seed. Here this Bulgaria pastor was, a godly pastor.
of a small underground house church in Bulgaria. I'll be honest with you. You read stories, and I don't think the most zealous, fervent, white-hot churches are here in the States. I think they're underground. I think we don't hear about it. I think they're in China. I think they're in other places. Think about it, folks. The dedication you'd have to have, the commitment you'd have to be an active part of an underground church. Think about that. And we think we're something for coming in freedom to worship God in this place. They put their lives on the line every time they meet. Oh my, it's incredible. In this little small house church, he had a New Testament. The pastor had a copy of the New Testament that had been handed down to him through his family. It was over 60 years old. It was worn in places so badly they couldn't even read some of the words. And it was the only copy of the scriptures in that entire congregation, albeit a very small congregation. Outside the town, there was a dump right on the outside of the city, and it was known that authorities from time to time would burn Bibles at that dump. Somebody in that church had a connection that knew when Bibles were to be burnt. And when they had a Bible burning, a couple of men in that little underground house church in Bulgaria would go at night to where the dump was outside the city. They would take small flashlights and they would look around for unburned little pieces of the scripture. And from time to time they would find one. And they would bring it back to the church, and that little unburned piece of a page would be passed around from member to member, who they would take it home to their house at night, and they would copy the words from that unburned piece of scripture, just one page. Because that's how highly they valued the Word of God in the country where they couldn't have it. Boy, that makes me feel small. I tell you, if I was an American Independent Baptist Church going Christian who neglected my Bible, never picked it up, never read it, I would hate to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ beside those dear people. I'd hate to stand beside them. I'd hate to. That's dedication, folks. That's valuing the Word of God. Do you value it? Do you have a time in your day where you read its pages? I'm not talking about hours and hours of reading. I'm talking about a consistent time to read the Word of God. Because the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. You've heard it said by me. You've heard it said by other preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries who've come through this pulpit in the years of the existence of this church. Hardly one counseling session with anybody who's away from God goes by without them admitting that they quit reading the Bible. I don't know of any. I don't know of anybody struggling in their Christian walk and they say, you look across the table and they say, I read the Bible consistently every day. More oftentimes it's not that they're not, they've gotten away from it, closed its pages, and are not in it consistently. Blessed is he that readeth. Several years ago, on a Sunday night, I preached a message on George Mueller's prayer life. I read across some things written by George Mueller. He listed four or five principles of prayer that he followed in his prayer life. If you don't know the story of George Mueller, I don't have time to go into that tonight, but he was a great man. He had those orphanages and fed those thousands of orphans. And sometimes would sit the children at the table with no food on the premises. And say, okay, children, let's bow our heads and thank God for the food. And then begin to pray. Oh, God, we thank you for this food that you provided for us. And they'd go to the door, and it'd be a man that said, I was driving a truck in the, had an accident out here, and the truck overturned, and I had a load of potatoes, and they're going to spoil. Do you need any potatoes? That happened with milk. Happened with potatoes, happened with bread. For years and years, George Mueller prayed down from the hand of God enough food to feed those hungry orphan kids. And what a prayer warrior he was. He prayed for 50 years for five men to be saved. 50 years. And the fifth man finally came to Christ 2 years after George Mueller's death. 52 years. George Mueller prayed for 50 years for that one man to be saved. And we gave those prayer principles. I ran across some literature this week where George Mueller wrote down his methods for reading the Bible. Man, I gobbled that up. Anything I could put my hands on like that from a man the stature of a George Mueller, I want for my own life. And I'm not ashamed to bring those things to you and to make those things an outline for a message that will help you with your relationship with your Bible. When I read those things, I said, "Dear Lord, I've got to talk to the people about these." Believe me, friend, George Mueller's prayer life and his Bible life played the major part in why he had the blessing and power of God on his life. Blessed is he that readeth. I want to give you what I read about George Mueller's prayer life. 6 points. I want to give you the main points, and they came from George Mueller. I will expound on them myself, and I will not be long on any one of the six. But if you're interested in writing them down, these 6 methods George Mueller practiced in his relationship with his Bible, they'd be good for every Christian in this room, and especially when you are discouraged or tempted to get away from your Bible reading. Number one, read the Scriptures regularly through. Read the Scriptures regularly through. Now, in this little paper, he said Mueller would read from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. He would read the Old Testament one day. He would read the New Testament the next day. He would mark where he finished reading the one day, and then when he went back again 2 days later, if he read the Old Testament on Monday, he'd read the New Testament on Tuesday. When he got back on Wednesday back to the Old Testament, he'd pick up where he left off, and he would read it completely through. And when he got through with the Old Testament, he'd start back in Genesis again. When he got to the New Testament, he'd start back in Matthew again. And he would read, and he would read, and read, and read the Word of God regularly through by alternately reading the Old Testament and the New Testament. That was a blessing to me. Because last year, I just wanted something a little bit, a different plan, a different way to read the Bible. And so I thought, okay, for the year 2006, I thought I'm going to start in Genesis. And when I finish Genesis, I'm going to read Revelation. And when I finish Revelation, I'm going to read Exodus. And then when I finish Exodus, I'm going to read Jude. And I'm going to read toward the middle from both ends of the book. I don't know why I did it that way, but I had a blast. I had a lot of fun reading toward the middle of the book. Now, of course, there's not as many New Testament books as there are Old Testament books. So some of those Old Testament books, I would read maybe 2 books in a row instead of, you know, reading one and then one New Testament book, but alternate. And you know what? I think that's healthy. I think it's healthy to alter, especially if you're a slow reader, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a slow reader, if you're a conscientious reader, I think it's a good idea to alternate between old and new, because the message of the two Testaments is completely different. In the Old Testament, God is revealed as the lawgiver. In the New Testament, he's revealed as the gracious God. But if you get too much of that Old Testament, you get too much of the New Testament, you become imbalanced. It's all good. Amen. Alternating back and forth. But the main thing is this, friend. The main thing is to have a plan. This is what I want to emphasize. Whether you use George Mueller's method, whether you use what I did last year, whether you get that little through the Bible guide and follow it, you know, that's not, whose method you use is not important. The main thing is, have a plan and follow it. Have a plan and follow it. Read the Bible. Read the Scriptures regularly through. It would be such a help if people would just get a plan and then go. Let me tell you the worst way to read the Bible. Monday, well, let me see. I don't know. Well, yeah, I think I'll read here today. Tuesday, well, I don't know. That's the worst way to read it. Without a plan, without a method, without a purpose. I have been an advocate for a long time. Get you a plan. And then I've been an advocate of getting you a time and a place to go along with your plan. I think if you put those three things together, a threefold cord is hardly broken, Ecclesiastes said. You find you a plan, and you find you a time, and you find you a place, and you just plug into that, friend, and be consistent. And blessed is he that readeth. I didn't say it. God said it. Blessed is he that readeth. Consistent reading is your goal. Consistent reading is your goal. A little bit every day is better than one gigantic reading. You know, you get excited and you think, man, I'm going to read my Bible through. Somebody preaches on it and you read for an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours one day. And man, maybe you read more than one book in the Bible, but then you don't read it again for 3 weeks. Now, what if the doctor prescribed you some medicine to help you get over an infection and it prescribed you some pills. And you know what thing I've learned about it? I don't go to the doctor. I'm like most of you men. I don't like to go to the doctor. But I have at times over the years gone when I needed to go, and I found out something. If you want to kick what's ailing you, take all the medicine. Take it all. You know what happens? You two or three days of the medicine in your body, you feel, man, I'm good. I'm just kidding. And you go back down if you're not careful. When he gives you that prescription, he doesn't give you a bottle of whatever or a bottle of pills or a bottle of some liquid medicine and take, go home, pop the cap, and take the whole thing. He didn't tell you to do that. He writes it out. You can't read it. I think one of the things that the pharmacy school must be learning how to read doctor's hieroglyphics. Amen. Good night. That scribble on there, you take it to a pharmacist, no problem. They understand it all. Or they just make it up. Maybe that's what it is, huh? Just make something up. Type it on the bottle here. I don't know. This sounds good. Am I right? You ever been able to read that stuff? It's great. But when he sends you home, he tells you to take one teaspoonful three times a day for 10 days or 8 days or 12 days. It's the consistency of it. You don't go home and drink the whole bottle. You don't go home and pop the whole thing of pills. You'll be in trouble. It's that consistent dosage over a period of time that brings health to your body. And friend, are you getting this? It's the consistent dosage over a period of time that'll bring blessing to your heart and your soul. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. Read the scriptures regularly through. That was his first rule. Read the scriptures regularly through. Number two, his second Bible reading rule. I think this is great. Read with prayer. Read with prayer. Now, folks, it's no secret to you. You know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Just reminders tonight. But you and I cannot, by our own wisdom, understand the Word of God. Now, once you get saved, of course, that's a big help. But even then, friend, even then, I understand. Sometimes people have said to me, "Boy, I get in these passages where it's hard to comprehend." You know what I say? I understand that. In our own wisdom, we cannot understand the Word of God. Listen, when you read the Word of God, recognize the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to help you understand, comprehend just a little something out of what you're reading that morning. Look, it was the Holy Spirit, it was Him who moved the hands of the writers along, like we preached a few weeks ago. Remember that? He moved the hands of the writers along. That same person lives in your body. The author, if you will, of this book lives within us. Who better to open our understanding to this book than the one who helped pen it? I love that prayer over in Psalm 119, verse number 89. I memorized it years ago, and I try to say it from my heart before I read the Bible every day. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What a great verse. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh God, I'm about to read your book. And by the way, you say, well, I got to make up my own words. What's wrong with just quoting that verse to God? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Spirit of God lives within you. He authored the book. He helped to pen it on paper. He'll explain it. He'll comprehend it. Help you to understand it. Ask the Spirit of God to be with your Bible reading. Read with prayer. Blessed is he that readeth. Number three, George Mueller said this, third principle about his Bible. Read with meditation. Read with meditation. The more you and I ponder over what we read, the more it will be applied to our hearts. You know what David said in Psalm 39 in verse number 3? He said this. I love this verse. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. Fire burned. I think that's missing. I wonder sometimes where the fire is. You ever get over in Luke and read where Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He'll baptize you with fire? That doesn't mean everybody's going to run around acting crazy. But there ought to be an internal fire burning on the altar of our hearts. A fire burning to know God. A fire burning to serve Him. A fire burning to fellowship with Him. And David said, while I was musing, that's meditation. He said, I was thinking it over. I was pondering it. Thinking it over and thinking it over and thinking it over. While I was musing, the fire burned. The fire burned. You know what I believe? It's in your heart. If you're saved, if you're a born-again child of God, I believe there are embers in your heart. I believe there are embers in my heart, if you will. This morning, it was cold this morning. I got up early and I wanted to start a fire in the wood stove. It had gone out from the night before. I don't know if we had one Saturday. I think we had one Saturday night, but it had gone out. And man, I don't know why. I had a hard time getting it going this morning. You know, it's a macho thing. I don't want to use any fire starter. You know, I rub two sticks together. No, I'm just teasing, you know. It's a macho thing, you know. I want to be able to put some kindling in there, you know, and light the kindling and get it going and just, you know, without the... And it wouldn't go. And I was aggravated. And I had other things to do. And man, I would listen for it to take off. You know how you can hear the fire begin to take off and the wood popping and crackling. And it never started. I'd go over there, open the door, and I was trying to get my stuff done in the morning. And I had my mind on it. It was over there. Man, I was fretted because it was cold. I wanted to warm the place up for the wife and the children when they got out of bed. And so finally I reached in the box for the fire starter. I broke off a piece about that big, you know. If I have to use it, I'm not going to use much, bless the Lord. Amen. So I broke off a piece about that big, and I held it outside the stove, and I got the match, and I lit the fire starter. I was down close to the fire. All that was in the stove was embers. There were embers in there and some logs that had embers on them, but no flame, no fire, just embers. It was warm, but there was no fire. And I lit that little piece of fuel, and it doesn't matter if I put out the match or not. It's in the stove. It's going to burn up. So I just dropped the match. It was still burning, and I had the piece of fuel in my hand. And when that lit match hit those embers, poof, it started right up. Just burned. I had that piece of fuel. I felt successful. Amen. My manhood was intact. Didn't have to have the fuel. But now it's going. So I'm dropping in the fire and let it go. But I thought to myself this morning, I knew what I was going to preach. This is what I wanted to preach tonight, but I had another message in my mind. I thought, I don't know which way I'm going to go for sure. But I was thinking, that's what the Word of God will do. There are, if you're born again, child of God, I believe there are embers in your heart. There are embers there. But friend, there needs to be more than just warmth. There needs to be fire. There needs to be heat. And the Bible is the fuel. The Bible is the spark. The Bible is that little lit match that if it's just the right word or the right truth or the right scripture is dropped on those embers and poof, there's a fire burning in your heart. And what a wonderful day it is when you go to work on that truck or in that factory or behind that computer desk with the fire of God burning in your heart. What a great day it is. That's what I'm talking about. David said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Musing, thinking about it, pondering it. Psalm 119, verse number 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day, the Bible said, the psalmist said. I think about it all the day. All the day I ruminate on that thing. And ponder it and meditate. You see, if we would just take a verse or two or a part of a verse and ponder on it, maybe on the drive to work, or maybe while tending to the household duties, if we just get a little bit and turn it over and turn it over and turn it over and let it soak, oh, how our hearts would benefit from the Word. Blessed is he that readeth. George Mueller said, read with meditation. You know, far too many of us are like the wayside ground in Matthew 13, the parable of the seed and the sower. Remember that story? Sower went out to sow. Some seed fell by the wayside. And what happened to that seed on the wayside ground? The fowls of the air came and devoured it. And that seed had no opportunity to take root and bring forth fruit. had no opportunity because the fowls of the air devoured it. Man, I think that's how it is sometimes with our Bible reading. We got so much time set aside, we want to check off the little box to make sure that we stay up to date. And that's why I don't push necessarily. Read it through in a year's time. Read it through. I think it's wonderful if you can. But friend, far better for you to read 5 or 6 verses and get them in your heart. Soak on it. Than to read a whole book and then close the Bible and gone off the couch or gone out of the chair and it's gone from your mind. That's not what you need. What you need is that musing. What you need is that seed ruminating and thinking and meditating and pondering. Look at Psalms 119. It won't take but a second to look at this scripture. Look at Psalm 119, verse 97. I just quoted it to you, but I want to show you the next two verses. Psalm 119, verse 97, 98, 99. Look what the psalmist said here. Psalm 119, 98. He said in verse number 97, that's the one I just quoted to you, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Look at what he said in verse 98. "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Not talking about his enemies. He's talking about God's commandments. They're ever with me because of the meditation. Look at verse 99. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Oh, friend, listen. Read it with meditation. Blessed is he that readeth. Read it with meditation. Read it to get something down in your heart. And you know what? There's nothing wrong in this world, nothing wrong with you about 7 or 8 verses into your Bible reading and something goes, stop. Stop. Tom Malone, who just went to heaven just a few weeks ago, he said, "I read my Bible every morning and I don't quit reading it until my heart burns." If you're 7 verses into your Bible reading and your heart begins to burn, there's something there in that verse that jumps off the pages at you and grabs your attention. Stop. Don't blow past it. You don't have to check a box. Let the Holy Spirit of God work. Let Him use that like a lit match to fire up the embers that are burning in your heart. Meditate on the Word of God. Think about it. Get something and take it with you all day long. There's a reason why God used George Mueller like he did. There's a reason. Blessed is he that readeth. Read the scriptures regularly through. Read the scriptures with prayer. Read the scriptures with meditation. Number 4, read with reference to yourself. These aren't my points. These are his points. I'm just expounding on it. I'm giving you his skeleton and putting the meat on the bones myself. Read with reference to yourself. This is something that is important, especially for all of us who have some kind of responsibility to teach the Word of God to others. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers and preachers. I'm talking about anybody I'm talking about moms and dads. Anybody that instructs someone else from the Word of God, read it for your own heart first. Read it for your own heart first. You say, "Well, man, I've got to get something to teach those boys and girls. I got the lesson that I'm given by the church." And yes, we want you to follow that lesson. But as you begin to study for that lesson, maybe the prominent thing on your heart should not be something I can give to the little boys or something I can give to the young girls. And I want to say again, I was so blessed last Sunday morning to go around the classrooms and hear the teaching of the Word of God. Nobody was goofing off. Nobody was playing. The Word of God was being taught and taught with fervency in classroom after classroom after classroom. I loved it. Loved it. But before you start praying for something to give to the little guys or the little girls or the teenage young men or young ladies or the adults in your class, ask God to do something in your heart first. Listen very carefully. I teach the homiletics course for how many years? This is my 10th year at the college, 9th year at the college. And I teach the homiletics fellows about selecting a text. There's 5 or 6 ways that God uses to give you a text for a message. You don't just go out and find something that happens in nature and then run to the Bible to back it up. There's too much of that kind of preaching. That's how the little green blades of grass springing up through the hardened soil. Your text begins in the book. The message needs to be birthed in the Bible. And I tell five or six ways. And the first way I teach them about it is their own personal devotions. And I tell the boys this, and I'll tell you this. I believe with all of my heart, the messages that have the most impact on the hearts of the people, when I preach, are the messages that impacted me first. That's almost 100% true. I'll get a text that'll do something in my heart. In the reading of the Word of God, just the personal devotions, I'll get something that'll do, a text that'll do something in my heart. It causes my heart to burn. And God births a message from that text. And then, yes, I begin to put it on paper for a message for the people of Faith Baptist Church. And you know what? Time and time again, it seems what God did in my heart, He does in your hearts. Read the Bible with reference to yourself. Get something for you. You need it. Every one of us that has those kind of responsibilities. Read the Bible. George Mueller said, read it with reference to yourself. How does this apply to me? How can this make my life different tomorrow? How can this make my life different this week? Read it with reference to yourself. Get something for yourself. That's not selfish, friend. That's vitally important. I could take you over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 tonight and show you from that reference chapter 5 and show you, or chapter 4, I'll get the chapter right here in just a minute, chapter 4, and show you from that reference where Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, take heed unto the doctrine and continue therein. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He's not talking about soul salvation. He's talking about salvaging his Christian testimony. He's talking about salvaging his walk with God. He said, Timothy, you get into the Word of God. You take heed to the teaching. You know what he told Timothy? He said, the best thing you can do for your family, the best thing you can do for the people to whom you preach is to get up in the morning, draw a circle, step in the middle of it, open your Bible, and say, God, fix the man in this circle. He said, that's selfish. No, it's not, friend. The best thing I can do for my wife is keep my heart right with God. The best thing I can do for those six children and those two that are married and those two grandbabies and for this church is to keep my heart right with God. I must not read the Bible to try to fix you. I must read the Bible to try to fix me. That's how we need to read it. With reference to ourselves. I'm talking about blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. Let me hasten. Number 5. The Bible, George Mueller said, when he reads the Bible, he reads with faith. Read with faith. Read with faith. Hey, when he's saying that, he's not talking about, you know, when you read the Bible, consciously remind yourself that this is true as opposed to not true. No, no, no. Read with faith. Read it as it is. Read it as the revealed Word of God. These are no ordinary words we're reading. I don't care what human author you may read from, friend. He is a fallible, sinful being. These words came from complete purity, from complete holiness, from complete righteousness. They are God's words. There are none like unto them. Huh? It's called the sword of the Spirit. And I mentioned this in that series on Wednesday nights, what the Bible is to me. Remember when David went to Abiathar the priest and he was running from Saul. And he said, you got anything to eat? He said, all I got's the showbread. David said, well, I'll take the showbread. We're clean. Then he said, you have a sword? And Abiathar said, the only sword that's here is Goliath's sword. And David said, I'll take it. There's none like that one. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. There's none like this one. None. None. I love that book. That nothing does for my heart what that book does. Nothing does for me what that book does. Read it as the revealed Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Word of God will work effectually in you, in them that believe. Do you believe it to be the Word of God? Read every word as true with simple childlike trust. Rest upon the promises. Read them as though they were made for you because they are. Hey, kids, this is not your daddy's book. It's not your pastor's book. This is your book. These are God's words to you. Read it that way. Read it with faith. This is God's word to me.
Number six, he said this, read in order to carry into practice. Read in order to carry into practice. Now, we all know that the Bible is a revelation of God to us. God's word is the revelation of himself to us. You want to know what God's like? Read the Bible. Jesus Christ was the living revelation. The word of God is the written revelation. Here it is. It is God's revelation to us. But let me tell you something, friend. Listen very carefully. He didn't write this book just so that we could know who he is. He revealed his words to us so that we could believe rightly about him, yes. But more than that, he gave us these words to teach us what he wants us to be and to do. And it's not enough to say, I have a Bible. And yes, I read it. Is it making you what he wants you to be? That's how George Mueller read it. He read it in order to carry it into practice. When I read this book, I must read it with this in mind. What I read in here is what he wants for my inward life. Listen to me. When he talks to me in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3 about putting off anger and malice and envy and evil speaking, that's not just, oh yeah, that's nice. That's for me. That's what he wants from me. Well, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. The Spirit of God can change you through that book right there if you'll take it to heart. If you'll read it in order to carry it into practice. God wants my life inwardly to be in line with this book. He wants my life outwardly to be in line with what's revealed in this book. When I read it, I should take it to my heart. I have a lot of different facets that I've on different positions, if you will, that I feel in life. I am a husband. There is a lot in this book about being a husband. It's not there just so I can decide, well, yeah, I think I'll take that, but not. This is not a cafeteria. What he says in here about being a husband is what he wants from me. Are y'all listening tonight? And what he says in here about being a husband is what he wants from you men. He wants that. Sam Davison, a wonderful preacher, widely used man, great man. Got a huge church down in Oklahoma City. I heard him say, I've told you this before. He said, my wife and I have never been separated, never been, you know, even talked about divorce. We have a wonderful marriage, but he said we had some things going on that just were areas of conflict. And he said, I just made a promise one day to God that as I read his book and as I read what he wanted from husbands, I would line myself up with everything he said in this book about being a husband. You know what he said? Changed his marriage. And I'm not picking on him. I'm talking to you and me. Well, of course. The immortal, infinite, all-wise God put it on paper so that we could have it. And we buzz by it. Check our box. Whoa, stop. What does he want? Do you read that, Brother Terry Angel, what he said there about loving your own wife as you love yourself? They just put it in there to take up space. Practice it. Hey, ladies, 1 Peter chapter 3 is what I almost preached on tonight. I will. He didn't just put in there that Sarah reverenced her husband calling him Lord so you could go, oh, that was nice. What's that from you? He put these things in here so that when we read it, we'd say, you know what? This is what God wants. Don't you love it when your children grow in God's grace to the place where they want to be what pleases you? Don't you love that?
even when, you know, even at those times when maybe they don't even agree or understand with your what you tell them, but because they want to please you, it's okay, Dad. I had that happen today. It was a blessing. It's a blessing to me. I don't think the child comprehended why I said what I said, but it was met with, okay, Dad. I love that. I think it shows a heart of wanting to please Dad. Now look, if that pleases me, and in my relationship with God, I am His child and He is my Father, don't you think it would obviously please Him if I got serious about what makes Him happy? Blessed is he that readeth. George Mueller said, read it in order to carry into practice. That means those promises there about supplying your need, taking care of you, God meant those for you. Carry them into practice. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he. That's what I need. I need God's blessing. Read the Scriptures regularly through. Read them with prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Read with meditation. Read with reference to myself. Read with faith. Read in order to carry into practice. Hey, kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, I know that verse. Oh, do you? Read it in order to carry it into practice. Blessed is he that readeth. Let me tell you something, friend. You give us a church built on the foundation of this book right here. Remember that parable that Jesus told? Those that were built upon the rock, when the storms came, the house stood. They were the ones which heard his words and did his say. Those whose life was built upon the sand. The storms came. The house fell and great was the fall of it. What do you want to build this church on? Your personality? Charisma? Puke. That book right there. That book right there. If God gives me 20 years, how much personality do you think I want to have at 70? All right, open your Bible. Let's read. Here's what it says, folks. Do it. Isn't that how y'all feel when you get older? Just, ah. You know. Do it. We don't need that. Need to build this book, build this church on that book right there. If I could get every member, if I could get every family, I could get everybody reading that book consistently, we'd have a strong church. We'd have a blessed church because blessed is he that readeth. Amen. Thank you for listening tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Your Father in heaven, thank you for your book. Help us, I pray, to hear the plain and simple message tonight. Points penned by a man of God who lived years ago, whose life you blessed. I believe because of his relationship with his Bible and his prayer life. Help us, O God, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name.
who would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died right now where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. Anybody else would say, Pastor, I am saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Anybody like that? Saved and not baptized. Let's have the song tonight, ladies. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and do. Wonderful words, beautiful words. Wonderful words of life. I challenge any Christian, any young person bored to tears with your Christian walk, Christian life, I challenge you to get in the Bible for 60 days straight, consistently. Read it with faith, read it with meditation, read it with prayer. Please don't neglect it, folks. Please don't neglect it. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Oh, God bless our invitation tonight. And may the altar be used for your honor and glory in Jesus' name.